Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we are back. Sid has joined us. We are going to switch topics here and talk Twins baseball. Obviously, this is a very big time for the Twins in all Major League Baseball. These are the winter meetings. Levine, Falvey, so many of them are in New Orleans for the winter meetings. Lots of expectations for some deals to happen. The Twins did make two deals during the week. Also in the offseason, they named a new pitching coach. Surprised a lot of people that went into the collegiate ranks, came up with Wes Johnson, and Wes is kind enough to join us this morning. Wes, one of the headlines about you was something about the I'm going to get this right, the czar of velocity. Can you how much can you improve a pitcher's velocity? Are they what they are? Are there things you can do to give them different spin ratio and more speed on their pitches? What can a pitching coach actually achieve?
Well, I've had a lot of success over the years. You know, you look over the past really 15 years, and I've had some success at actually increasing velocity. But there's a lot of factors that come into that. And I think that's where, when you look at how I coach, you know, you really have to build an individualized plan. The same thing that works for one guy is not going to work for another. So with that being said, I mean, some guys achieve velocity, or a lot of guys achieve velocity in different ways. So, yes, I am a firm believer that you can increase velocity just because, I've seen it and done it. So it's really a great process.
Have you got some pitchers who have gone to the major league?
Yes, I've got a couple right now. I sure have. I've got Drew Smith with the Mets, Chance Adams with the Yankees, just Dakota Hudson with the Cardinals. So, yeah, there's some others as well.
Coach, the Twins have had a sort of a history of pitch to contact and get the ball in play and let the fielders field. Will the team concept change with the more of emphasis on velocity than pitch to contact?
Well, you know, I think we're in a day and age, if you look at statistically what's going on in professional baseball right now, it's really about the home run and the strikeout, if you really look at it. You got guys now in organizational philosophies that say, we don't care if a guy hits 230 as long as he hits, 30 homers. So the offensive game has really changed. I think, as early as 3 years ago, that was still a great philosophy. Not that it's not now. It's just we're teaching guys to throw different. Guys are coming in. They're already having velocity. To me, it's amazing how many young men now come in throwing the baseball 95 miles an hour. And so when you have that kind of stuff, it kind of forces us almost to put more emphasis on a strikeout than contact.
Wes, a question about something we started to see in baseball last year. Twins experimented with it in September. Where do you stand on the opener, the concept of an opener and then a primary pitcher?
Man, I think obviously the Tampa Bay Rays started that concept, and quite frankly, I think it's genius. What we're seeing now, getting back to the pitch to contact versus velocity, is you're seeing young men today who come in, like I think about one of the Cubs pitchers right now, and Alberto Mejia, who is really good, and you look at him statistically for 50 to 60 pitches, and this young man is really, really good. But then after that 60th pitch, it kind of starts to fade off his stuff. So, I think what Tampa has shown teams that they can do is they can still utilize a Mejia and get 3 to maybe even 4 innings out of him and using him in that opener role. And so I'm a big proponent of it. Obviously, in a perfect world, if you've got 5 starters, that's what you want. But if there's those years where you don't, I think the opener's a great, great alternative.
Were you surprised when you were asked to take his pitching job?
Oh, I was very surprised. I was at the University of Arkansas, just had my head down going to work, and you know, didn't expect any of this. If you look back, what was going on with me, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, I had no idea I would be the Twins pitching coach now. So, yes, I am very surprised, but very excited and ready for the challenge as well.
Coach, do you have any advice for parents and grandparents who might have a prospective pitcher in their among a grandchild or a son or a daughter as far as what should they be stressing, Little League and up? Given your collegiate background, I know you probably looked at those kids from an early age. And what should they do and not do as far as developing pitchers at the young level?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I see now when we go out, because when I left the collegiate game, you know, it was crazy, guys. I mean, you start looking. I mean, we were recruiting 14-year-olds and committing them. And much like what's going on in our international market in professional baseball, but with that question being, you know, brought up, one of the biggest things I always tell younger players is just make sure you're playing catch. I think what happens now is with the way travel ball works and everything else is these young men are identified. They have a really good arm. Teams come after them, and they pitch 3 times on a weekend, and then they don't do anything during the week. And then they wait till the next weekend, and they throw 3 more times. And when they're going in there, obviously they're really good, so they're competitive, so they're throwing really hard. And when you go back and trace a lot of injuries that are happening now, a lot of your doctors are what they label as degenerate stuff going on, meaning these young men have had these injuries, you know, probably from the time they were 14, 15 years old. And then when they get into college or professional baseball, all we're doing is, so to speak, is putting the last piece of hay on that haystack, and that's what's causing it to break, whatever that is, you know, whether it's a Tommy John surgery or a labrum or whatever. So the biggest thing I emphasize to a lot of these young parents or a lot of young players and parents is make sure that we're playing catch and we're still throwing and not just going out and pitching and making sure that during the week that we're doing other activities to help our arm recover.
Wes, you've got a pitcher on the staff, Romero. You read some things, might be a fifth starter. Spring training last year, the Twins used him as essentially a closer. Have you formed any kind of opinion on how you might try to work him into your pitching staff? And then my second question, are you looking at a 12 or the more common now 13-person pitching staff?
Well, you know, one of the things, well, I'll start with Romero first. I mean, come on, this guy, what a talent. If you can't get excited about him, man, wow, something's wrong. But, you know, I think right now what we're looking at is we've got to find out what's going to go on with our other guys. You look at a guy like Big Mike Pineda. You know, you hope Big Mike, and we have all the reasons to believe he is. You know, he comes back healthy and he's able to give us some things. You look at a guy like Cole Stewart, who's got starter stuff as well. So it's kind of like if we don't have to use Romero as a starter, he could be the best closer in the game, potentially, right? But at the same time, we may be forced to use him as a starter. So I think what will happen is there's a couple other factors in the mix for him because he can do both. You know, that's what makes him, to me, such a commodity is he can do both of those. He can start if we need him to start. He can close if we need him to close. So through spring training, you'll probably see us build him up as a starter because obviously it's real easy to pull him back and you know, put him in a closer role after we've built him up. Second question, you know, that'll be a question that obviously Rocco and I will sit down and evaluate as we look at the roster. And, you know, you look at our schedule, guys. I mean, you want to talk about I don't know what the word is, maybe formative. They're real early. You could conceivably not need a fifth starter until, you know, somewhere around April 16th. So it wouldn't shock me if we carried early, you know, an additional position player. So we went with 12. And then when we got to that April 16th, April 18th, you know, we might add another pitcher and make it 13.
Will you have any contact with the pitchers before spring training?
Oh, yes. I've talked to all of them. I've talked to all of them except two. I haven't been able to get a hold of Mejia or Moya because of where they're currently living. But everyone else I have. I've talked to on the phone. And you know, we've had other people who have been able check on Mejia and Gabriel Moria for us that have been down in the Dominican. And Tony Diaz, our one of our new coaches, was recently down there and was able to go to their area and check on them.
Wes Jansen, a pleasure to have you on the air, and looking forward to meeting you and see how you do to the Pitchers. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Okay, thanks for having me, and really excited to be a Twin.
All right, Wes, well, we'll have you back on. A lot of good information. Appreciate that so much. It's Wes Johnson. We'll come back after a break and have some additional sports talk. Eric Eskola sitting in for Mike Max this morning on the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Eric. All right, we are back. Obviously, a big story is the Viking game tomorrow night against Seattle. They're in Seattle. Mike Max is on his way right there now. That's why Eric Eskola is here in studio with us. But a lot of people saying this could be one of the most important games of the season for the Vikings. If they lose, they're basically a 500 team, and it's a difficult road from there on to the playoffs. Mike Zimmer obviously had a lot of thoughts on the eve of this important game tomorrow night, and Sid had a chance to catch up with him. Let's listen in.
Can he do it another time?
In the season, as you kick that field goal at Green Bay, as you not lost to Buffalo, you'd be 8-4, you'd be tied with the Bears right now.
Yeah, I'm not looking back on the season, though. We're trying to look forward.
How much do you miss Berger and Easton?
You know what, Sid? We're just trying. You know, we got these guys here, and they're the ones that need to play. You know, it was unfortunate that Easton, got hurt. But, you know, everybody gets hurt in the NFL.
How do you think the offensive line's playing right now?
Yeah, I think they're playing fine. I've got a bunch of good guys in there. They're working hard, and I don't think the offensive line is an issue.
Talk about the rules for offensive. The rules all favor the wide receiver, and don't favor the defense.
Yeah, it's been like, you know, it's. Really, it's always kind of been like that with, the way it is. But, rules are rules, and we just go play by them.
What kind of years is Harrison Smith having?
Good. He's been playing well.
Are you healthy for this game?
Yeah, we're pretty healthy.
Yeah. Okay, talk about Seattle. What's their strong point? How about Wilson? Talk about him. Is he as good as any quarterback you'll face?
Yeah, he's very good. He's different. He's got a lot of mobility, a lot of creative plays. They've become a run-first offense, and so they run the football quite a bit. But he throws a great deep ball. And then defensively, they're very solid, good against the run, playing extra guy in the box, good long corners.
Wilson can scramble with the best of them, can he?
He can. He can scramble really well, and, so we're going to have to do a good job with our rush lanes.
How about that stadium? Is that very tough? Is it loud in that stadium?
Yeah, it's loud in there, but, we can help that if we play good.
I see you have your doors open practicing this week. You expect the cold weather there in Seattle?
You know, I don't think it's going to be as cold as we've had it out here, but... I think the weather should be good.
You used Cook a lot in that game with the Patriots. How about using him in this game?
Yeah, well, we need to get him in football. He's an explosive guy, and, we can't have penalties on run plays. We have to, continue to get him the ball, but, we need to be balanced.
Using him more as a receiver?
Not necessarily, just, different ways to get him the ball.
What do you have to do to win this game?
You got to control the time of possession. They're very good in the red zone on both sides of the ball, and so we have to be very good in the red zone and score touchdowns when we get in there. So, and defensively, we got to stop the run first.
Thank you, sir.
All right, that was Mike Zimmer on tomorrow night's. Remember, tomorrow night's Monday night Viking game. Back with more right after this. Sports Huddle. Sid, Dave, and Eric Eskola. All right, we are back, and Sid, nice interview with Mike Zimmer. What are your thoughts on this game in Seattle? You must have mixed emotions because you're such a big fan of Pete Carroll.
Well, they played Seattle four times, their own four with Wilson. He's a big scrambler, and this team does not defense a scrambler very good. They are an underdog in the game. They got several guys.
3 points.
They have several guys hurt. Hendricks might not play.
Waynes is out.
Who?
Trey Waynes is out.
Yeah, he's out. They defensively, they haven't played well. I mean, everybody talks about their great number one defense. Brady just wore him out. His Drees wore him out. The quarterback from the Rams wore him out. What's so great about this, this defense if they can't stop anybody? I mean,
Sid, on the offensive side of the ball, I think a lot of the teams have like a 55% pass, 45% run offense, and the Vikings mix is more like 70% pass and 30% run. Do they need to run the ball a little bit more to give the Cousins a chance to open it up? Or?
Well, they should run the ball well, but I don't think the offensive line is that good. I think that's the trouble. They lost Berger from last year, who was one of
Berger, yep.
One of the outstanding linemen. They lost
Easton. Yep.
So they're two of their best offensive linemen are gone. And I think with those guys missing, they're having a hard time running the ball. If they did want to run the ball more, I don't think they can.
An interesting observation. You'll see what happens today. Again, the three-point favorite tonight. Tomorrow night, I mean. Seattle is a three-point favorite. Sid, I had a story in Sports Illustrated about 3 weeks ago was pretty unflattering towards Seattle and said that there's a lot of players on the team who don't like Wilson, that Wilson hogs the spotlight, and that some of the other players have kind of had their fill of that, and they were pictured as a team in some level of dissension. Have you heard any of that?
No, I haven't heard anything about that.
All right, let me ask you a different question then. Were you surprised what happened next door to us with the Green Bay Packers changing coaches in midseason?
Yeah, I was surprised. The guy took to at least one or two Super Bowls. His record overall was very, very good. And I don't know, John Gutekunst's son had something to do with that.
Oh, yeah, big.
He's got a big job there in Green Bay. Green Bay doesn't have the players they used to have. That's their big trouble. They got rid of that Nelson, that outstanding wide receiver. And Rodgers hasn't been that good. I think it wasn't the coach's fault. I think it was the personnel.
Eric? How about is Coach DeFilippo, the Viking OC, is he a candidate to replace McCarthy at Green Bay?
What's that?
Coach DeFilippo, would he be a candidate to replace McCarthy at Green Bay?
I don't think so. I mean, his record, let's face the facts, the offense hasn't been that good. I mean, he hasn't set the world on fire. I don't know. I think they'll pick some former Green Bay guy, some Green Bay coach or something like that, somebody with a connection with that team.
Well, realistically, I think what you said earlier is true, Sid. I don't think Green Bay is as good as they were. I'm sure they fired the coach, but if you look at their personnel versus their personnel 3 and 4 years ago, I think that they're definitely a lower caliber. And you've got the Bears that are going this way, getting good, you know, better talent.
When you lose to
Arizona.
Yeah, when you lose to Arizona at home, your personnel is not very good.
No doubt about it. We need to take a break. As we do so, I'm going to give the phone numbers. Normally at 10:30, we would have P.J. Fleck. I think we talked about P.J. couldn't join us this morning because he's got 25 football players on campus. This is the major recruiting weekend of the season. They got two people last night out of that group of 25 who indicated that they have committed to come to Minnesota. One of them is the highest-rated kid that they've gotten so far, a 4-star defensive tackle who had originally talked about going to Georgia and Alabama instead of coming to Minnesota. That's a big name. But P.J. pled with us this morning that he wanted to spend full time with his players, and we certainly understand that. So we're going to give you a chance to call in during that time. The number to call is 651-989-9226. You can talk about any topic that you want. Wes Johnson, I thought, said some interesting things about the Twins. They picked up a couple of players during the week. Talk about that. You can talk about tomorrow night's Viking game, Gopher women's basketball. You heard Lindsey Whalen there on at 1 o'clock this afternoon against Boston College. You pick the topic, hockey, what's going on. Timberwolves, tough loss last night, but they had a player out of the lineup that was very important to them. So you pick the topic, and you can call us now. We'll talk to you right after this. The number again, 651-989-9226. We'll be back right after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Eric. All right, we are back. Let me give those phone numbers again. I know I put that on you fairly quickly. The number to call is 651-989-9226, 989-9226. That's the number to call. Really, any topic that you want to talk about. Remember, Eric Escola is here this morning. We'll have a little conversation along the way. Eric, I think everybody in our audience understands this, but while you left our airwaves about 8 or 9 years ago here at WCCO, you've still got a part-time job. How long have you been doing Almanac, and is that still as much fun as it looks?
It's great. Love it. 33rd year I'm in. doing that show.
Wow.
7 o'clock on Channel 2 in the Twin Cities, and check your local listings. Around the state of Minnesota, and of course, it's made possible by viewers like you.
I think I've heard that phraseology. All right, the number to call, again, is 989-9226, put a 651 in front of that. Are we ready with, all right, another player Sid caught up with, one of his favorites, one of everybody's favorites, one of the really great stories in the National Football League, the emergence of Adam Thielen. It's just an outstanding wide receiver. Everybody's looking at him, wondering how the Vikings found a talent like that. I think people are starting to cast their net a little wider in places than they might find talent based on the performance of Adam Thielen. Always a good interview. Let's listen in.
It's going to be 10 minutes with him. Let's talk about that.
10 minutes.
5 minutes. Let's talk about that Belichick thing.
1 minute. No, just, obviously being a competitor and just got caught up in my emotions. But definitely shouldn't have let it get to me and definitely should have had more respect than I did. But like I said, it's when you're a competitor and you get in the heat of the moment, sometimes stuff happens.
Do you think you and Diggs are doing so well that they're changing the coverage?
Yeah, teams are changing the coverages. I think every team has their game plan of what they want to take away, what they want to do, and every week it's different. So you really never know what you're going to get. Last week was we got a completely different look than we really seen from them all year. So I think that's what you're going to get moving forward.
What do you have to do to get open more?
Just continue to do the basics. I mean, just try to do your job the best you can and let everything play itself out. You can't try to do too much, and you just have to just literally just focus on what you could get to do to get better and go from there.
You think the interference rules aren't good enough in favor of the wide receiver?
The pass interference?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it is called in the receiver's favor, but I think so a lot of times they let us play, and I don't know if that's in our favor or their favor, but I think they're leaning more towards letting us play and letting the corners be more physical.
It looks like you're going to set a lot of records. How do you feel about that?
Really not trying to think about it, honestly, just trying to help this team win, and our main goal is to win games, and we haven't done that enough so far, so just have to really focus on the process and trying to get better.
In other words, you don't keep track of those records.
Yeah, I don't keep track of them, but someday when I'm done playing and be able to look back at it, it's a different story, but right now I'm just trying to focus on my job.
Think this team is going to make the playoffs?
I don't know. I think we have we're in a good spot right now, really. We just have to make sure we play well in December, and if we don't, we don't deserve it. So if we get in, we'll deserve it, and I think for us, like I said, we have a little bit of a sense of urgency knowing that December football is how you get in the playoffs, and that's how good teams go far in the playoffs.
Is the team as good as last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have the talent, we have the guys, we have the coaching staff. We just have to go out and execute, and that's what it comes down to every year. It comes down to execution. It doesn't matter how talented you are, you have to go and execute every single Sunday, and you have to focus.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
How'd you like the
article? It was great. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Glad to know he liked the article. All right, Sid, one thing you did not cover with Adam Thielen, his production is down. Do you think maybe he's talked about another interview. It appears to us that he's being double-teamed more often, and that's the reason that you're seeing Cousins go to Treadwell and the tight end Rudolph seems to be back in the equation. Is that right?
They're triple-teaming him right now. New England triple-teamed him, and they're beating him up, and the officials aren't giving him any breaks at all. 2-3 times in a New England game, there's no question he should have got an interference call, and they're not going to get him.
I mean, Eric, your observations.
Well, are Thielen and Diggs tight because Diggs makes so much more money than Thielen? Is there any jealousy there, or are they pretty tight, Diggs and Thielen?
There's no problem with that. I mean, they get along fine. He doesn't know anything to talk about money.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
He thinks he's making a lot more than he ever thought he should.
I'm sure he's right.
I had a column last week. Here's a guy that played four sports. He won a state championship in golf, and his Detroit Lakes teams won everything. And the Vikings are very lucky to have him. Right. I just think the Vikings' biggest problem is the offensive line. Cousins is not getting good protection. They're batting balls down. They're getting sacks. And it's just not a very good situation. You got a rookie in O'Neal playing there. The only really outstanding offensive lineman they got is the center.
Elfline.
From Ohio State.
Yeah, Elfline.
In fact, I talked to him about, I got a tape about him. We can use that tape talking about the coach resigning. Mrs. L can find that tape.
All right, we'll take a look for that. I just want to remind people, Glenn Mason's going to join us at 11:05. We're going to talk about the Big Ten season, what he saw, what he's looking forward to in the various bowl games, and his thoughts on next year. That will happen at 11:05. Said I was going to wait to ask you this at the end. What's your prediction on tomorrow night's game? I'm listening to you. I'm getting the feeling that you probably think that Seattle's going to win that game.
Well, I think the Vikings are due to play real good. They have not played a real good game. Brady took the first opening kickoff and walked downtown against their defense like it's not. That defense has got to live up to all the ratings they got. And at this point, in my opinion, they have not lived up to their ratings.
Did I hear a prediction in there somewhere? Or did I miss that prediction?
I think the Vikings have a chance to win.
Have a chance to win. On the other hand, Seattle has a chance to win.
Here's the thing. I don't think Seattle's that good. They lost two games at home. The big thing they got going is that Wilson, the quarterback.
Yeah, I was just giving you a hard time.
How about the Super Bowl they lost, what was it, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when Wilson threw an interception on a 5-yard line?
Yeah. We've got to take a break. We'll come back to that, and we'll get to your calls. And, Eric, I know you've got a point. I'm getting the signal we're a little late for a break. We'll do that. Come back right after this. Talk more sports. You're listening to Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Eric. All right, we are back. For those of you on hold, we're going to keep you on hold a little bit longer because one of our phone calls was returned. Brian Lawton joins us right now. Time for a little hockey talk. Brian, on this show a week ago when we were talking hockey, we're looking forward. Maybe that's not the correct term to that Canadian swing that the Wild was about to take and some of the hazards of that three-game series. I think the Wild learned only too well, and luckily for them, they've got three home games coming up this week.
Yeah, they do, and they play their next four in a row at home, so that's certainly a good sign for the Wild. They'd love to get back to those winning ways. It's been a tough last six games. They've won just one game in that time span.
What's happened to their goaltending?
Goaltending has dropped a little bit, and, you know, clearly said at the start of the season, I felt like goaltending was the one thing that was keeping the Wild's head above water. But I also was fearful at that time that if it dropped at all, it could be a totally different story. And through this last stretch of six games, that's happened. And you see the end results are losses instead of games that they were winning early on. That's how close the league is. If any parts, integral parts of your team drop just a little bit, you find yourself on the wrong end of these games.
Brian, one of the things we talked about was, I think it was almost a month ago now, the Wild general manager took off and looked at a prospect in, I believe it was in Russia, and we had Lou Nanny on, and Lou was high on him. Can you add anything to that conversation? I think he's still, a year or a year and a half away from being available to join the Wild.
Yeah, and that's, that's a tough one. And this isn't as specific to Kaprizov, but this, generally the European kids have a specific place they want to play, and they have a viable option in the KHL. So the most important thing that Paul Fenton can do is exactly what he did, get over there, meet face-to-face, and make a tough decision as to whether or not he believes he's going to eventually get this player or never see him here. Once you cut to the chase as to what that is, you can figure out what to do with the asset. I would say, in my opinion, it's 50-50 at best you ever see him playing here for Minnesota.
Interesting. Sid?
You think he made a mistake in firing the general manager?
That's always a tough call. I mean, the team started off so well. Chuck obviously has been hired in Philadelphia already, so he's a quality executive. At the same time, I think Craig Leopold rightly felt the team just needed a bit of a new direction. I played with Paul Fenton. He's a very good guy. He's a very astute hockey man. I think he'll do a good job. But that hasn't really happened yet, Sid, in terms of what Paul's going to do with this team. He's been very clear that he's still evaluating. It's really hard to make changes right now in the salary cap world. So Paul recognizes that. He's going to go slower than people might want. But I think when he acts, he'll act decisively, and he'll do a good job for this franchise.
Well, how Seattle is an NHL market, do you think?
Awesome. Seattle's going to be remarkable. Everybody's super excited about it. The National Hockey League, obviously the people out in Seattle. And then a lot of the teams, the realignment. We're going to see Arizona join the Central, obviously. Seattle's going to join along with all these great natural rivalries with Vancouver. And I think it's going to help with the California teams. It's going to help with Western Canada. There's just a lot of people that are excited about it. And last but not least is the players. It's an opportunity for 25 minimum more players per year to play in the National Hockey League. It's a pretty exciting time. Vegas has really raised the bar, so that's going to make it interesting. But it's going to be a great, great city.
Does it mean a longer road trip again for the Wild and for fans to stay up for a 9 o'clock or 9:30 start?
It will mean one extra game out there, yes. That's absolutely true. And, of course, the Wild will see a young, upcoming Arizona Coyotes team more often. It'll also give some of the fans that I talk to all the time around here that actually love to go down to Arizona when the Wild are down there in the middle of the winter and make, as we've seen in the past, a Minnesota trip out of it where you might catch the Timberwolves. You might catch the Wild. So it's a nice opportunity, I think, for everybody.
Bateman has done a sensational job as commissioner of the league since he took over, don't you think?
I think he's done a tremendous job, Sid. He's overseen massive growth. He's kind of taken this league from what was a bit of a boutique-managed league and turned it into much more of a behemoth in line with football and basketball and baseball. So Gary, of course, was inducted into the Hall of Fame in the last few weeks here. He's having a really good year in terms of adding Seattle to the mix. He has incredible relationships with his existing owners. That's enabled him to do a lot of these things. And I think Gary will continue on as a commissioner as long as he wants to. And I think that's a good thing. His stewardship has been excellent, not only for the ownership groups, but for the players increasing their revenue and specifically for the fans, as he's, really done one significant thing, which is make this league much more competitive through the salary cap where any city can win at any time.
Brian Naughton, thank you for being on the air and for being here. We'll send you a MERS certificate.
Always my pleasure, Sid. We got to get together for lunch sometime.
We'll make you off air here. We'll work on that for you. Thanks,
you
Brian.
Thank you very much.
You bet. That's Brian Lawton. We'll be back with your phone calls right after this. Sports Huddle. Sid, Dave, and Eric Escala. We are back, and as promised, we'll go to the callers. Thank you. Thank you for holding as long as you did. We had that call for Brian Lawton and weren't sure when he would be returning the call. Remember, Glenn Mason joins us at 11:05. All right, let's go to Tom and Hopkins. You've been on hold the longest. Go ahead, Tom.
Yes. This is for Eric. Can you share your favorite memories or stories about Larry the Axe Hennig?
Well, he was, of course, pretty boy Larry Hennig and Handsome Harley Race, a great tag team. That Race was based in St. Louis, but Race would come up and he and the Axe would team up here for Vern in the AWA. And, of course, he sired second and third generation wrestlers in Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig, who died rather tragically at a young age. And now Curtis Axel is the third generation of the Hennig family now in the WWE with Vince McMahon's operation. So it's a storied family in pro wrestling.
That was in my notes. I couldn't have done it nearly as well. I knew we had to say something about it, and I saw that question. I admit I grinned, and I said, this was the right morning to have Eric here. Thank
you. Yeah, I've got some pro wrestling.
All right, Charles in Rosemont. You're our next caller. Go ahead, Charles.
Good morning, Sid, Dave, and Eric. I'm calling about Gopher season tickets. I've been a season ticket holder for about 25 years, first in the Metrodome and then now. And I just think that this premium tax thing on the football seats, and my seats are in the end zone, is absolutely ridiculous. I called or I emailed Director Coyle a couple of weeks ago and haven't heard from him. You know, it's pretty embarrassing when you have one Division I football team in the state of Minnesota and they can't even draw 30,000 people.
Charles, let me interrupt you and ask a question. I was under the impression that end zone seats were not subject to the surcharge. Am I wrong?
They are. I mean, really? I'm barely in the end zone. I mean, I'm not where the kids are, but I'm in the second deck, section 233, and there's a premium $300 per ticket.
All right. Well, that's interesting. I'm on the 20, and of course we pay that. Let me ask you a question, bounce back question. We talked about this 2 weeks ago when I was on the Madison trip. Some really good Gopher fans who have been season tickets longer than you have, as long as I have, said they would have no objection trying to get people in there if the Gophers did something radical like a $49 season ticket aimed at young parents and getting their kids in there and in the end zone type seats. How would you react to that as a season ticket holder in 20 seconds? Oops, did we lose Charles?
What? Or my grandchildren to the football game.
Charles, I'm sorry, we didn't have you keyed up. Go ahead, if you could repeat that.
I said that if that would be wonderful because I've got children and grandchildren, and that would be wonderful.
All right, well, I'm sure that topic will come up again. We had Mark Coyle on this morning. We'll have him back on. We'll bring that very question up because it seems to be getting support among people that I talked to. Eric, I saw you nodding over there. We're out of time for this hour. Glenn Mason at 11:05. And more of your calls in the 11 o'clock hour. Sports Huddle. Sid, Dave, and Eric Escala.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.